On today's Bill of the Fletish Show, episode 114, Fermentation, Enemas, Les Mis, and Sunbeams. All of this and more. The Fletish Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Fletish Show. A low-calorie carbonated beverage for my diet. Welcome, kids. This is Kenty. I have a cold. And you're listening to the Fletish Show. Jose is taking a nap. He's back this week to work. He hasn't said anything about the, he hasn't said anything about what he's going to do in February. So welcome to the Fletish Show. We have a packed show for you. Ukulele songs and all sorts of things. Okay, let me, we'll start off. You can reach me at 206-984-3617 or call or visit me. Or come to or email me at flatusshow@gmail.com. Also, I'd like to say that the new website is up and running. I called Darren, and he sent me the website. He was very busy, so he wasn't getting his emails. So he sent me what he had done. I did some minor changes, just adding some links and stuff. And so the new website, theflatusshow.com, if you go to it, and you click on it, you'll see the whole new website. So go ahead and look at the website. I'm trying to make some more changes. I've changed my blog, the blog where the Fletish Show resides, where I post everything, to a Blogger account, to my Blogger account. And so you might see that. You might see something strange when you refresh my show, because it will be like a whole new link. You'll get 20 new things showing up. So sorry about that. Anyway, so that will be the fletishshow.com, new, brand new. I'm going to have a wiki in there. I have to ask Tim and Annette from For Whatever Reason podcast to give me some help on the wiki. I have it all. I have it already set up. I just don't really know how to use it. So I'm going to see what they do, because what I'm thinking about doing, I was talking to Darren about this, is that I'm going to give you more information about the ukulele songs I do, you know, the composer and the time it was composed and the name and all that stuff. So you can then go to that page to get that information, but it won't be, you know, in the show as always, because it's not the reason why the podcast is up, just a little extra. So you can cross-reference it. Let's see here. Wiki. I think it's really cool. Because for whatever reason, podcast, they put the recipes in there. And I think that'd be a good idea, because I have a cooking segment too, which I had started 2 years ago. In August, or actually June, cooking was my thing. But they seem to do it better, because Nanette is a fabulous cook. Though I'm a really good cook too. If I have to say so myself. So we have to have a cook-off, Nanette. Okay? Ready? Get your frying pan sizzling. Okay. She's probably going to pick, like, you know, an etouffee to do. And I don't know the first thing about etouffee. You know, probably some Cajun cooking there. She's a Cajun witch. Use your Cajun magic. Okay. Let's see here, what else? Bored Beyond Belief. That's a great podcast. That's Joe G. Let's see, what else do I have? You know, I have some emails. I always forget to get my emails. Joe G emailed me about something, and I forget what it is, but I just want to mention him. Hi, Joe G! He's still not my internet boyfriend, though Johnny thinks he is. I mean, It's fabulous. You should be anybody. You know, come on. Be my internet boyfriend. All you have to do... Actually, let's talk about the internet boyfriend. Alex from Sweden is my internet boyfriend. He's my first internet boyfriend. Alex, you need to send me a photo so I can get the photo stuff set up with my panel of internet boyfriends. In fact, it would be really great if you could take a picture of yourself and say, I am Kenty's internet boyfriend. Have a sign, right? Make a sign and take a picture. Have somebody take a picture of you that says, I am Kenty's internet boyfriend, theflatusshow.com. How's that? I think that'd be really terrific. So, you know, come on, boys and girls. Y'all know you want to be my internet boyfriend. Doesn't make a difference if you're married or not, or whether you're, you know, in a relationship. It doesn't make a difference. Internet boyfriend status is internet boyfriend status. So, you know, it is the thing to do. I'm making it the new thing. I'm a trendsetter. Okay? So be my internet boyfriend. Okay, what else do we have here? This is a good show today, I think so. But I have a cold, so I'm really not into it. Today, I several months ago, Randy of the Two Guys, One Brain podcast sent me a ukulele kit. And it was Grizzly is the company who puts it out. And I've been putting it off because I was afraid of the ukulele kit. I was afraid of putting it together and making it wrong. And finally, I said, I'm going to build it. And Randy said, go ahead and build it. It might not even sound like anything, but I know you'll be able to do it and you know, make it your own, which I did. And I'll have pictures of it on the album artwork today. It'll be my album artwork. But here is... It sounds a little funky. I mean... Okay. I should pause and get a song and play a song on it. Hold on. Okay, kids. Here, I'm going to play a song on the Randy ukulele. They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent of a clever race descendant. My star is on the ascendant, that's why I don't care. I don't care, I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy-go-lucky, men say that I'm plucky, so jolly and carefree. This is the microtonal version of I Don't Care. I don't care, I don't care, if people do get the mean and stony stare. If I'm never successful, it won't be distressful, 'cause I don't care. You can see that I'm not an instrument maker. But I love it, and wait till you see it. It is the new image of the Flatus Show. Maybe it needs new strings, you know? Maybe it will work if I have new strings. You know, that's a possibility. Sorry about that. Let me just play that song the real way. The real way, you know? The good way. The in-tune way. Okay, and this is going to be transposed into B. They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent of a clever race descendant. My star is on the ascendant, that's why I don't care. I don't care, I don't care what people think of me. Oops, I've got the wrong thing here. I don't care what they may think of me.
I'm happy-go-lucky, men say that I'm plucky, so jolly and carefree. I don't care, if people do get, if I do get the mean and stony stare. If I'm never successful, I won't be distressful, 'cause I don't care.
And I won't play the second verse. Maybe I will. Some people say I think I'm it, but I don't care. They say they don't like me a bit, but I don't care. 'Cause my good nature effervescing. Is one there is no distressing. My spirit there's no oppressing. Just 'cause I don't care. I don't care, I don't care. If people don't like me, I'll try to outlive it. I know I'll forgive it and live contentedly. I don't care, I don't care, if people do not try to treat me fair. If I'm never successful, it won't be distressful, 'cause I just don't care.
Little impromptu performance for you, and it was transferred into the key of B flat.
I love that song. It's so much fun. I'll put the chords up someday, because it is a public domain Zillafag piece from 1905. So don't get your panties all up in a twist, honey. Who would have thought Zillafag would be the... I don't know what they call that. So anyway, a couple new things I want to mention. I was looking at the new releases yesterday. There are no classical record stores. There's no record stores in Boston to speak of anymore. I mean, Tower's gone, Virgin's gone, HMV is gone. There's like nothing except for Orpheus, which is a used record store. They have all classical and show tunes and stuff. They're great. They're on Newbury Street, I think. No, they're not Newbury Street. They're on the other street, Commonwealth Avenue. I don't know if they have a presence on the web or not, but if they did, they should. Orpheus. Orpheus, for all your music needs. Anyway, I love that place. I don't go there very often because I don't get down there. So there's another record store in Boston, Newbury Comics. Used to be mostly rock and roll. Well, it's the only record store left. They sell comic books, by the way. That was their big thing. But then they sold CDs and DVDs. So, they have really great used selection of DVDs, because I like getting my DVDs there. So, since all these other record stores have gone out, they've really bumped up their classical selection. They got some good buyers in there, and I hope it's the guy from Tower, because he's really good. He was the guy at Tower Records in Cambridge, and I loved him. He used to be at HMV, and it seems like he is doing the buying, because I can tell from the stock that's coming in. I know his tastes. I know what he knows people like. So I'm flipping through their new release DVDs. It's like a nice, you know, selection of DVDs, like operas and stuff. And what do I come across, kids? Hold your breath, because I couldn't even believe it myself. It was The Devils of Loudun. It was Penderecki's opera from 1968, I think it is, or 69. It was televised. It was a German production, Hamburg premiere. You know, it was in Hamburg. Hamburg Opera commissioned it. And Tatiana Troiano, she's the lead soprano, or no, she's a mezzo. And I didn't even know that it was televised, you know, but somebody, some art house, I think, is the company put it out in DVD, so I snatched that right up. I've been waiting to see this opera since I knew about it. I have the LP. And the LP, let me tell you, Phillips put out the LP, is the most gorgeous LP. The libretto, you know, is this nice big oversized libretto book in the box set. For those people who know about opera on LP, okay, who are collecting operas on LP, because I was starting my collection, most of my collection is LP, because I was starting my classical collection, the disease that it is, opera collection, during the LP era. And some people say, but I started with reel-to-reel. Well, honey, I have reel-to-reel, too. I started late, though, but I bought some reel-to-reels. Reel-to-reels sound really great, except I don't have a reel-to-reel player anymore, but I wish I did. But, yeah, you're right. Reel-to-reel sounds good. But I have LPs, okay, honey? I'm not that old, so... So I have my LP, my opera collection. I have the Penderecki. The book, for those who know, it's a big book. You can read it. It doesn't hurt your eyes. Like nowadays, you get a little opera book and the opera CDs, and your eyes fall out. This is paper. This is the paper of the libretto. It isn't just regular paper. It is like premium homemade paper. You can see the specks and stuff in it. It is so effing cool. It is so cool. And I have it. It's all mine. And I am the one with the toy. If you were here, I would... Listen, you would sit you around the house. I'd give you a low-calorie carbonated beverage, and I would pass it around for you to look at because it's so gorgeous. In fact, I might travel with it and show everybody. I have to show everybody, all my listeners. So, you know, you got to tell me where you're at so I can, like, make a plan. You know, you can come within 50 miles. I'll stop, try to get into a spot where people can reach me within 50 miles. Mm. And I'll show you the Penderecki. But anyway, the Devils of Loudun. Let's get back to the Devils of Loudun. In the opera, it's about a nun who is in love with this priest, and she has the hots for him. I mean, it's all about sexual repression. And he won't come to the convent to be their priest. So she starts claiming that he has come to her, and he's dealing with the devil, and she tells her priest that, and she's possessed. She becomes possessed. So they give her an exorcism, and the words aren't working, so they have to use more modern methods. I like the line in the opera, well, the church has to move with the times. We have to get the demon out. It's stuck in your lower bowels. Consecrate the water! And they give her an enema, a holy water enema, right there on stage. And you should hear... You should hear it. I don't have a record. I didn't record it because I have no compunction. I could record that little bit, but I didn't. You have to see it. I mean, it's so funny. It's not really funny. I mean, the whole thing is really gripping. I mean, it's so well done, the television version of this opera. And it's like 1968, right? And there's like tits and everything in it. I mean, this is how this is German television. They don't care because it's natural. I mean, it's not natural to be possessed by the devil and get a holy water enema, but, you know, it's natural to see a breast, you know. It's nothing. People are so effed up about pornography and stuff like that. Okay, on the Two Guys, One Brain Forum, there's this picture of Randy. He's felt Randy because he's lost weight. And I said, where are the nude pics? And everybody's like, if you show nude pics, I'm leaving, dot, 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 dot. I'm like, get over yourself, Mary. So listener Louise and Nikiki, they're like, I want to see nude pics, you know. And I was like, me too. And they're like, I said, I can add it to my porn collection. And somebody said, that's too much information. Well, okay, let me tell you something. Porn doesn't really turn me on anymore. The only time I download something that's pornographic is something, it has to be something else. It has to be something about the photograph that's interesting to me. It's mostly just nudes in my mind. Porn doesn't turn me on anymore. I mean, not like it was when it first came out, when it was like, you know, porn. I'd see all these, like, porn things. I've seen it all, right? There's nothing new. Get over it, okay? A penis is a penis. Whatever, you know. So anyway, the only time, if I look, I still look at porn, right? Okay? I mean, it's, you know, whatever. Me and everybody else. So, but the only porn pics I download, there has to be something unusual about it. Maybe the color scheme has to be perfect. It's really artistic. So, So that's that. So anyway, saw The Devils of Loudun on DVD. I got that. I watched that. I love it. I might watch it again. Before, because I'm by myself this weekend. Johnny's at a conference, and I have the house to myself. And that's why I didn't put the podcast up Sunday, because I was building a ukulele, and I was... Oh, actually, and the reason also, yesterday, I forgot about this, I saw Les Miserables at the North Shore Music Fair with my downstairs neighbor. She said, "Do you guys want to go?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." I don't know the opera. You know, wash my mouth out with soap. I was going to say I didn't see the musical, and I had low opinion of it. Though I like a couple songs, like "I Dreamed the Dream," and you know, some of the other songs are good. But I didn't really know much about it, so I'm like, "Yeah, sure. You know, put me down for it. I'll go see it, right?" And So we go, and you know what? It was pretty damn good. And you also know what? It's a dark musical. There's nothing funny about it. It's, you know, I was scandalized with, like, there was, like, these pictures of, like, women giving blowjobs on stage and all sorts of horrible things. And, you know, people brought their kids to it. I mean, it's R-rated. That musical's R-rated. And it's sort of like, it's very episodic, you know, because, I mean, it's the Les Miserables. I mean, that's like Victor Hugo, like 800-page novel, you know, in this span of 3 hours, okay? Another thing is they sing the entire, everybody sings, no one doesn't sing. It's like an opera in that way, and I think it's probably worse than an opera. I'm on The Voice because they're belting. I mean, I don't know how, and they're doing matinees and evening performances. Like, they had a Saturday matinee and a Saturday night performance and a Sunday matinee and a Sunday night performance. How could you perform Les Miserables in, like, four times in a weekend? I mean, you would kill yourself. I mean, one guy was having trouble singing. No wonder. You know? It's insane. You know, they ought to have alternate cast or something if they're going to do that. So it's dark. It's a dark musical. So, I think that's all I'm going to say. And on with the show.
Oh, little Audrey sails, save for rainy days. She sails, but every time it rains, she spends what she puts away. She knows her proverbs, A to Z, and knows the good they bring.
But when she has to follow them,
well, that's another thing. Oh, little Audrey sails, while the sun is out, make hay. Though she's not immense, there's a lot of sense in what little Audrey has to say.
Little Audrey's brother was a jailbird. One time, when he was up for 3 years, he broke out of jail. The sheriff looked and looked for him, but he couldn't find him anywhere. After a month, the sheriff decided to put the bloodhounds on the trail. And that made little Audrey just laugh and laugh, because she knew all the time that her brother was anemic.
Tired of being alone? Not anymore. You can be Kenty's internet boyfriend. Just send Kenty an email or a voicemail declaring such, and a picture, and Kenty will proudly display his bevy of boyfriends in his special photo album. Now you can tell people you have a boyfriend. An internet boyfriend. There is no obligation to have sex with Kenty, go on dates, remember birthdays or anniversaries. It's that easy. Be Kenty's internet boyfriend today. And now, girls can join as well. Void where prohibited by law. Only on The Flatus Show.
Just what love will do. Love may live a day or all life through.
Jankum, or Jeckum. Now, this is something I just heard on the... This first time I heard it, was on Zillafag.com's podcast, and he talked about this new drug called Jeckum, and I'll tell you what that is. I also heard it on the Two Guys, One Brain podcast. They did a segment on Juckum, too, because they work in a jail, and so they're expecting that the jailers are going to be fermenting their poop to get high. So this brings me to a couple questions. Okay, Juckum. What is Juckum? Well, you can go on Wikipedia. So there's a Juckum or Juckum. I think it's both is the same. But what it is fermented poop, fermented sewage, which is poop and pee. And I guess other stuff, right? But I'm assuming it's just like sewage is poop and pee, right? Well, you put it into a bottle, a glass bottle, cover it with a balloon, and then stick it in the sun to ferment. And these gases, these fermented gases, fill the balloon. And apparently kids, people, I don't know if it's just kids, are inhaling this noxious fume and getting high. And it's a hallucinogen. So it's causing visual and auditory hallucinations. It was first reported used by kids in Africa. I forget which country it is. And I imagine it's it's these army boys, like the children armies, you know, after they've lost their families, their orphans all over the place, so they get high. And the one kid was saying, has been reported as saying, and I don't know if Zilafag quoted the kid or not, but I know Andy did from Two Guys, One Brain, that with sniffing glue, I just hear things, but with Juckum, I can actually see my dead mother. So it causes, an hour's long worth of hallucinations. There it is, Juckum, right? Sewage. You're pooping your pee. You can't legislate against your poop and your pee, right? I guess the legislation would be you can't ferment your poop and your pee. That seems to be the catalyst. So it's been reported, and we don't know how far-flung this is in the United States, but kids in the U.S. are experimenting with Juckum, which I think is kind of disgusting. I would imagine, hold on, that if it's a hallucination, if indeed sewage can be fermented into some sort of hallucination, then that chemical can be pared down to something, you know, specific. For example, I mean, you would think that some scientist, right, would, you know, find Juckum and analyze what this gas is, right? And I'm sure there are people doing that right now as we speak. Then you'll find out what the chemical is, and that will be legislated against. But this just brings me to a question. What is getting high? You know, why do we have laws against getting high? Now, people who drink say they are getting high. You know, getting drunk is sort of getting high, and it's altering your consciousness, right? Smoking tobacco alters your brain. You know, it's sort of, you sort of get high when you're smoking tobacco. In fact, I think they showed that nicotine like changes your neural pathways. You know, sort of like, it changes your neural pathway so you can't make the decision not to smoke. Though, I think that can be changed because I've stopped smoking and I'm fine. A yawn there. Sorry, I'm drinking my tea. So, okay. My question is this. I posed this on the Two Guys, One Brain forum. Juckum is sewage that's fermented. Now, why hasn't anybody in the civilization since the beginning of time recorded this effect? Because there were open sewers in Rome and London. I mean, up through the 19th century, you know, there were open sewers. You would think that there would be a, you know, some fermented crap and figure out it caused these problems. Not problems, but hallucinations. Maybe the people in Rome were all getting high off of this shit. You know, maybe that's how civilization began is on drugs and poison. I mean, Rome had the double problem of having lead pipes, so they had lead poisoning. It's funny people even survive to this day, but it makes you wonder if, you know, that's what the basis of civilization is and culture, is drugs and poison. Zilafag, I mean, you talk about drugs and poison and lead, you think of China, right? These choys that are made from China. I've talked about that before. I mean, it's in the news. Lead-based paints, which in America, you buy a house, it has to be lead-free. Or if you sell a house, you better be sure it's lead-free, and it costs you an arm and a leg to make sure it's lead-free. And here we are, letting, you know, these toys in, you know. They weren't tested. I mean, it's like all of a sudden they're being tested. And oh, they're full of lead, you know. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Something else I've found out is that the government, have put a ban on lead paint in houses, there's been problems of mold in houses, because apparently mold doesn't grow on lead paint. Now that we can't use lead paint, there is lead-based paints. There is the this problem of mold in houses. I mean, it's my understanding that lead paint is only bad when it's chipped and eaten and ingested, right? You know, babies will do that, I guess, right? I still don't really see, you know, the problem. Just keep your baby away from the lead chips, you know? You know, it's like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think lead paint is really that bad of a thing? You know? How many people were saved from not having lead paint? Now we have mold in our house, and just like I think they said the French Revolution and the New England witch trials were all spurned because of LSD, and the reason why is that it was particularly wet spring, and the wheat was wet, and it grew lysergic acid, the mold that, you know, LSD comes from. So everybody was high doing their stuff, you know, seeing devils and what have you. I also heard, NPR, one of those shows on NPR, they were talking about carbon monoxide. Talking about ghost stories, first of all. And they had this story about a ghost, people feeling these ghostly presence. They moved into a house and they had ghostly presence. Well, this is written in a letter in the 19th century. And finally, what happened was we find out that it was carbon monoxide poisoning that these people were experiencing. And once the gas lamps were fixed, right, or replaced with electric, these people stopped having their hallucinations that the house was haunted. Which makes me wonder is that maybe that's why people think houses are haunted, is that it's really carbon monoxide, you know? That should be tested first. Is there carbon monoxide in the house? You know? This is what happens. So, I mean, what would the world be like without hallucinations, you know? And drugged, like, you know, the altered consciousness. If we could just see reality for what it is and not some fantasy. You know? Oops, crap. My tea. What are you doing, Jose? Jose's sitting on the floor at my feet. Jose's back this week. So what do you think, Jose? Are you going to sign in February? Huh? He's just staring at me. You okay, honey? You okay? So, that's my little thing about Jackham. And why wasn't it discovered earlier? I don't understand why it wasn't. What does it mean to get high? These are all good questions. respond at theflatedshow.com. And I don't know. What do you think? You know, what do you think?
Hi, this is J.W. Richard of Mandrake Society Radio, and my good friend Kenty brings ukulele, the Bible, and flatulence into podcasting. What more can you ask for? You're listening to The Flatus Show.
I could fall for you madly, dear. I need you so badly. I'd give all I had gladly if you'd have me. Who am I to ever expect you'd care? Who am I to offer my little share? You're so sweet, it really would not be fair to hope you'd care for me. Who am I, adoring you as I do? You don't know, but nevertheless, it's true. Still, it's nice pretending that I have you and that you care for me, dear. You're mine only in dreams. There is no one but you. I keep making my schemes, knowing they won't come true. There's the moon so high in the sky above. Night is here, you're all that I'm thinking of. Who am I to whisper a word of love and hope you'd care for me?
Online reputation. You know, at the PodCamp Boston, they had a panel of people talking about how to make sure that your reputation isn't ruined online. And now, I consider myself, they were talking about what is a digital native. Now, there was a definition of a digital native as anyone born during the time when you could get online. So, you know, digital natives were people born in the 90s, I guess. I forget what the date was. But they thought the definition really belonged to anybody who spends any kind of amount of time on the internet interacting with people. That's being a digital native, because your social network is digital. I consider myself a digital native, and it started when I had my first computer, which I bought in 95 or 96, which was the Apple Classic, right? It was a all-in-one Mac Classic, and I forget which year it was. It was 96, I guess. Maybe, yeah, it must have been 96. 95 or 96, I forget which year. But AOL was just starting to roll out, and they had this thing called email, And so I signed up for AOL and got the email. And then I found out about other places like Netscape. And I got the, you know, the free software to download on my Apple computer. And I was able to send emails. And there were these groups you could join and talk about whatever. It was fun. You know, I'd go home and wait for my email. No sooner did I have my AOL account, I started getting spam. I mean, really terrible spam. Like, 100 emails were sent to my inbox. And it was hard to figure out which was which, and I just got tired of it. That's why I went to Netscape and got rid of my AOL account. And it took forever to get rid of the AOL account. I hate AOL. I've hated them ever since then. Eventually, that's how I met John. It was on a local BBS. I dialed up to this local bulletin board and chatted with people. And, you know, I met people online and in real life. So that's how I met John. So after we moved in, you know, I eventually got an iMac, and I was able to get onto the internet, the real internet, not just the whatever it is that Netscape gives you, like their little main window. I don't know what you call it. And I was interested in opera, and, you know, I'm still interested in opera. So I joined this group. It was a Yahoo group. Well, Yahoo was new. It was a search engine. You know, that was a whole new thing. Pardon me. This is probably in 98 or 99, I would imagine, right? And, 98 or 99. I had my iMac, and I joined this Yahoo group called Queer Opera Punks. Now, that was for me because I was queer, I loved opera, and I was a punk, you know? And the guy who ran it, Marquis de Poza, he was this young guy in his 20s, and he was really into opera, but he wasn't just into, like, what was traditional opera queen stuff, right? So, though he really was into, like, Donizetti and stuff, which is okay, because I learned more about Donizetti there than anywhere else, talking to all the people online. There was Charlie Handelman. Now, he had an online personality. He has a website, and he's been kicked off several places. Talk about a ruined, you know, reputation. But I remember being on there, and, you know, you meet people, and you just knew them by their names, you know, on there. You don't know them by, as you know, who they are. And, in fact, there was a big thing going on. It's like, don't reveal yourself online. You know, always use anonymous things, you know. You can't trust anybody. But I trusted these guys, and we ended up trading stuff. And we, you know, mailed each other, you know, back and forth, and they became real people. And I miss those days of doing that. But, I mean, of course, now I have a podcast. And one reason is Queer Opera Punks is still – I kept it alive, right? The guy, Marquis de Poza, who was going to run it, didn't want it. And he left, and he gave me the rights to run it. No one goes there anymore. But I love it because it's, like, old-fashioned, you know, for me. But he ended up opening – have a live journal account, blogs. That was a whole new thing. Better than a group, because we were having problems with the group, Yahoo groups, which did kind of suck. You couldn't upload things and blah, 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 right? So he started the blog, which I really didn't understand. I got a Live Journal account, and I really didn't use Live Journal that much, I mean, besides the Queer Opera Punk people. To listen to what they have to say about opera. So that was my, you know, my foray into the digital world, to become a digital native. It was, I guess, around the time I got the iMac, I decided I wanted to have a website, because I was reading about this. You can get free websites all over the place. I got an Angelfire account. And my first, because I was composing more, you know, working on my compositions more, at that time, I had stuff I had already composed. I decided to put my MIDI files out and make a web page of my compositions. And eventually, it might have been when I got the podcast.
I started podcasting.
My first domain name was Ken Steffler's Music, because I didn't have a domain name. It was a free account, Angel Fire. And I needed to have I needed to pay for an account to be able to host my files, my podcast files. So I got Ken Steffler's Music as the website, which is really stupid because it's so long. And then eventually I changed it to the Flatus Show, but Ken Steffler's Music will still bring it to my website. And I don't compose much these days. In fact, well, I think about it, so I guess that's sort of composing. I just don't write it down. And I hear things when I play the ukulele. I have ideas, which I would like to do things for the ukulele. Jose! He's sitting on my lap. And so, yeah, your online personality. So it became this big thing, is that, you know, you shouldn't let anybody... Especially when podcasting first started, there was this big hoopla about people hiding their personality, like hiding themselves. Even when I started, I was like, didn't want to say my name. I didn't want to reveal who I was. And I was like, fuck that. People are going to find out who I am, right? Ken Steffler in Rockport. Big whooping deal. Not like I have a lot of people who listen to it. But at the same time, for me, it's being truthful, right? This is an audio blog. And Kenty is my online persona. I mean, there are differences between my day-to-day life and Kenty, right? I mean, you know, I'm just a voice. There are people who know, but there's very little difference, okay? People who know me, who I've met online, like Randy and Andy, they know me in person because I've spent a couple few days with them, right? They know me from online. And if you are just know me online and you met me, you'd see that I'm, you know, basically the same guy. Maybe not as prepared in real life to talk, but, you know, but that's just the way, that's the nature of the media. How to protect your reputation is, you know, be yourself, you know, and if you're a dick, it's going to come through. There was a online persona on the Queer Opera Punks who this guy just had it out for certain people, and he wrote these nasty, nasty flames. He was the whole thing about flaming. It's like flaming is people who flame. Really, they're the ones who try to remain anonymous. You know, like, oh, it's not me. It's that, you know, it's the anonymous person, right? It's people who really have a problem, I think. It's a sickness. There's no reason to be a flamer online, you know? Just like there's no reason to be a dick in real life. I mean, it's almost like these people, that's their only way to pent their rage, is to be a dick online. Well, you know, my life online is real, so I'm not going to be a dick, okay? That doesn't, you know, I'm going to... I don't think I'm a dick, am I? I don't insult anybody, do I? And if I do, I'm sorry, since I don't mean to. However, if I hear something and I have something to say about it, I feel free enough to comment and criticize. You know, and the same for you, you know. But I don't do it to be mean. I'm not doing it to be mean or hurtful, you know. All the best to you. So, anyway, about your online personality, if you're a digital native, just be yourself, and if you're a dick, you'll be a dick online, and, you know, and if, you know, realize that you're dealing with real things. I mean, the internet is real, and it's also not real, but it can be, you know, a real medium to meet people, and that's how I choose to employ it.
Call me at 206-984-3617 and let me know what you're thinking.
Life didn't seem real. The world seemed terribly wrong. How different I feel since you happened along. out of the dawn there came a sunbeam. Out of the dawn a dream came true. Wandering on, I find that sunbeam. Lingering on the long day through. Please tell me who'd ever think my skies would ever be blue. Who'd ever think I'd need somebody like you? But out of the dawn there came a sunbeam and a beautiful dream came true. Skies never were blue until you wandered my way. Dear, since I found you, skies have never been gray. Out of the dawn there came a sunbeam. Out of the dawn a dream came true. Wandering on, I find that sunbeam. Lingering on the long day through. Please tell me who'd ever think my skies would ever be blue. Who'd ever think I'd need somebody like you? But out of the dawn there came a sunbeam and a beautiful dream came true.
Another 5-minute mystery.
Daddy, gotta hold my arm still.
Ah, bullseye, Sergeant.
Yeah, it's a mighty fine revolver you have here, Captain.
I picked it up for a song in a pawn shop yesterday.
Here, load her up and let's see your aim.
Yes, really a sweet job.
It is a nice gun, Captain. Only trouble is I'm lazy. I don't like a revolver. You have to go to all the trouble of picking the used shells out and reloading. Personally, give me an automatic. Just slip a clip in and...
Captain Jenkins. Captain Jenkins, you're wanted upstairs immediately.
Uh-oh.
A report has just come in over the radio of a shooting on the west side.
There goes our target practice.
Come along, Sergeant. We'll drive out and see what gives. You say your husband was sitting here by the open window when you heard the shot, Mrs. Williams.
That's right. I was in the kitchen. I came running in just in time to see Ben slumping down in the chair and some man running down towards the river there.
Sergeant, take a look outside the window for footprints.
Right at it.
Did you get a good look at the man, Mrs. Williams?
No. No, I didn't, Captain. He was too far away and running.
Well, why should anyone want to kill your husband?
Oh, he's quite wealthy, Captain, and, well, perhaps he's been a bit ruthless in his business dealings. He's made enemies, especially among the people in the tenements he owns.
No luck, Captain. Not a sign of a footprint.
Well, I didn't expect you'd find any. You see, Mr. Williams has powder burns on the right cheek where the bullet entered.
Well, I'll be... It was a suicide, then.
Mrs. Williams, there's no use in your lying. Where's the gun?
Gun? Why, there's no... All right. It's in the closet at the basement stairs. But I only put
I'll get it.
I didn't mean to do anything wrong, Captain. It's only...
I think I understand.
I didn't want any publicity to get out that Ben had committed suicide. It wouldn't be good.
Well, just what did happen now?
When I heard the shot and came in from the kitchen, I saw what Ben had done. The gun was still in his right hand. I gently removed the gun and put it in the closet. Then I made up the story of seeing the man running.
You didn't do anything else? Didn't touch the gun in any other way? Or didn't change anything about your husband?
Oh, no.
Here's the gun, Captain. Small caliber revolver. One cartridge missing from the chamber.
Where's the missing cartridge, Mrs. Williams?
I threw it into the furnace. It was lying on the floor beneath Ben's hand. Oh, I've made such a blunder of things.
I'll say you have, Mrs. Williams. You've blundered yourself right into a murder charge.
In just a moment, we shall return for the solution to our mystery. In the meantime... story.
Yes, Mrs. Williams, you blundered on every move, but especially when you stated you had picked the cartridges off the floor from under Ben's hand. You couldn't have picked the cartridges off the floor, as a revolver doesn't eject its cartridges. If your husband had committed suicide, he couldn't have removed it, but you did, and threw it in the furnace as part of the plan. I wonder what story you'll cook up for the jury.
Dover Beach by Matthew Arnold. The sea is calm tonight. The tide is full, the moon lies fair upon the straits. On the French coast the light gleams and is gone. The cliffs of England stand, glimmering and vast, out in the tranquil bay. Come to the window, sweet is the night air. Only from the long line of spray where the sea meets the moon-blanched land, listen. You hear the grating roar of pebbles which the waves draw back and fling at their return up the high strand, begin and cease and then again begin with tremulous cadence slow and bring the eternal note of sadness in. Sophocles long ago heard it on the Aegean, and it brought into his mind the turbid ebb and flow of human misery. We find also in the sound a thought, hearing it by this distant northern shore. The sea of faith was once, too, at the full and round earth's shore, lay like the folds of a bright girdle furled, but now I only hear its melancholy, long withdrawing roar, retreating to the breath of the night wind down the vast edges drear and naked shingles of the world. Ah, love, let us be true to one another, for the world which seems to lie before us like a land of dreams, so various, so beautiful, so new, hath really neither joy, nor love, nor light, nor certitude, nor peace, nor help for pain. And we are here as on a darkling plain, swept with confused alarms of struggle and flight, where ignorant armies clash by night.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.
It is a nice gun, Captain. Only trouble is I'm lazy. I don't like a revolver. You have to go to all the trouble of picking the used shells out and reloading. Personally, give me an automatic. Just slip a clip in and...
Captain Jenkins, you're wanted upstairs immediately.